Appreciated what Steve had for us this morning, just refocusing us on Jesus, on the Father, and on the Holy Spirit. This morning, as we think about refocusing on the birth of Christ in the midst of sometimes the busyness of Christmas season, I want to begin here by inviting maybe a few people to share, are there ways that you refocus on Jesus in the midst of the Christmas season? Are there maybe traditions that you or your family has that each year is something you do that in the midst of Christmas, maybe it's Christmas Day, maybe it's Christmas Eve, but something that you do that brings you back to the birth of Christ? And I want to give you a little time to think about that, if there's something that would come to mind that you want to share. It's good during this Christmas season to remember the gift of Jesus, the gift of grace to us, the real meaning. So are there ways that during the Christmas season you or your family refocus on Jesus, refocus on His birth? Growing up, my family had a tradition that each year we would memorize the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. We'd memorize that together, and I remember us kids memorizing that together, and then we'd get to Christmas Day, and part of our Christmas Day tradition before we would open gifts is we would recite this story together. And not all of us would have all of the parts right, and so we'd help one another out, but we would recite this Christmas story, and it was a way of us refocusing on Jesus.
This is Leanne Groff. Every Christmas before we open our gifts, we read the Christmas story because we want everybody in the family to know what the true meaning of Christmas is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one Christmas we decided to teach our grandsons to learn to say thank you. We were sensing that they weren't being thankful. So we made it, I shouldn't use the word law, but we said, you got to do this when you receive the gift from your partner, your friend, where you say thank you. And we noticed after that they were more thankful.
One of our traditions is that we always have the Christmas story, and when they were smaller, we had them act it out, and that was fun for them. But we like to sing carols together too, and it's a lot more fun now as they get older.
Yeah,
and we sing together.
On our first Christmas together, almost 52 years ago, money was tight, and we did not have things to decorate with. And so on Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas, we were living in Effort at the time. I walked up to Newberry's and I bought a really pretty nativity set. And I still have it, but as our children came along, it became tradition that they would help to put up the nativity set with each of the animals being wrapped in tissue paper. And the big thing was to who was going to find baby Jesus. And then our children grew up and it became a tradition with our grandchildren, first Trevor and then Derek and then Ryan, helping to put up that nativity scene. And then for a few years, when the grandchildren no longer came to be babysat, we did it. But just last week or 2 weeks ago, our great nephew, was there, 2 years old, and we again had the joy of having a little one unwrap the pieces and help us put up the nativity set. So the tradition continues.
Bob Book here. When we were on the farm and the children were growing up, it was an annual time to go out with dishes of Christmas cookies to our neighbors on the street. I don't know if Tina remembers that or not, but each year we would do that and then sing Christmas carols to the neighbors. And that has ceased, but last year at Landis Homes, we as a family went together and had a Christmas carol singing with my sister Mary before she passed away. It was quite a memory.
Yeah, I find that different. Go ahead.
Do one and a half.
That works.
is Ray Horst here, and a lot of times we actually went to our cabin in Sullivan County for the Christmas holiday, and we would take our family up there and actually go out and get a small Charlie Brown Christmas tree and drag it in, and it's actually on state game lands, probably be stealing, but we figured all them trees that they cut down up there, acres and acres of trees up there, they wouldn't miss one little Charlie Brown Christmas tree. So anyway, next year is leap year, and I think it's on a Friday, Christmas, and I think we might try and go up the mountains again on Christmas. A lot of good memories.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have family traditions that over the years we've used to refocus us on the story of Jesus, whether it's the Christmas story or something we do together as family or the Nativity or whether it's a Christmas Eve service, but we have something that brings us back. That in the midst of the busyness, and it's so easy to get distracted with other things, but we have something that brings us back to the story of Jesus, to the birth of Jesus. You know, this fall, we were going through a series with our sermons. We were focusing on the foundations of our faith, the basics, the fundamentals, because as we grow, we seemingly move away from these things that are still so essential and core to our faith. And the Christmas story is one of those things. And it's good to go back to these basics, back to these things that we're familiar with, because sometimes what we are most familiar with has the least amount of impact on us. And I think as we enter the Christmas season year after year, it can be easy to lose our sense of wonder and excitement and amazement at the Christmas story. It becomes kind of routine. Becomes maybe a tradition that's good to help center us, but it's something we do every year, and we kind of lose the wonder of this. And I believe that God never intends for us to lose our wonder and our amazement at the story of His birth, at the story of Him coming to earth for us. And so this morning we're going to walk through the Christmas story together. And I pray that as we do this, my prayer over this Christmas season for myself is, God, restore my wonder at this Christmas story that is seemingly so familiar to me, but God, restore my sense of wonder. So before we start walking through the Christmas story, I just want to take some time to pray. Lord, we ask that as we look at the story of Your birth, of You coming to earth to be with us, God, I pray that You would restore our sense of wonder and amazement. God, I pray that inside of us would be an abounding excitement at this story of You coming here to us, of God being with us. God, I pray that we would catch a hold of that wonder here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1 this morning. And as we enter Luke chapter 1, we are introduced to Mary, a young woman who is engaged to be married to a guy named Joseph. And up until this point, from what we know of Mary, she's a rather typical and ordinary Israelite young woman living in kind of the mountains, the hill country of Galilee. As far as we know, nothing particular about her, nothing special about her until this point. Because in Luke 1, Mary has an encounter with a heavenly messenger. An angel of God is sent from heaven to earth. And in verse 26 of Luke 1, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born will be called the Son of God." In terms of wonder and amazement and awe, we begin this Christmas story on kind of a high point. I don't know about you, but I don't have an angelic messenger come to me on a normal basis. This is a moment of wonder and excitement where an angelic being comes to earth to bring a message to a young woman in Galilee. And not just any message, but a message that she will be the mother of a child that will be conceived of the Holy Spirit who will change the course of human history. That the Spirit of God will bring life inside of her womb. And this child that God will conceive in her will be the Son of God. As we continue the story, we come across another angelic encounter, this time with Joseph, the man who is engaged to Mary. He finds out Mary is pregnant, and after giving it some thought, he doesn't want to publicly shame Mary, so he decides to break off the engagement quietly. But in Matthew chapter 1, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So again, we have another angelic encounter, and we may know the Christmas story, and so it's like, oh yeah, well, I guess an angel came and spoke, and that kind of happened. But this is an angelic being, a messenger coming from God, from heaven, and appearing to Joseph. It's a supernatural encounter in which the heavenly realm becomes visible in earth. It's an encounter of a lifetime. It's foretelling the coming of a Savior. You know, in both of these encounters where an angel comes to both Mary and to Joseph, It's a moment where heaven and earth interact. Where earth has an encounter with heaven. Where the natural experiences the supernatural. And in that, they carry a message foretelling the birth of Christ. But also in the nature of their encounter, they foretell of a greater encounter that will come. That as the angels, as they come, it's heaven getting a glimpse, or earth getting a glimpse of heaven. And yet it's foretelling, not only in their message, but in their encounter, it's foretelling of a time, the birth of Christ, when earth will get a clearer glimpse of heaven. Where not only an angel will come to earth, but the Son of God will come to earth. As we continue with the Christmas story, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. This is the classic Christmas story reading. We may know it well, but I ask that God would restore our sense of wonder as we read this together this morning. There's a song that the lyrics of the song go, "May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder, wide-eyed and mystified. May we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King." That's my prayer for myself in this Christmas season, but also for all of us, that we would restore our sense of wonder and amazement at the story of Jesus' birth. Join with me in Luke chapter 2. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them." This is the moment that we celebrate during this Christmas season. The birth of Christ, the Son of God, is born into the world. You know, since Genesis 3, Since the first sin of man, there was a plan of redemption. God revealed himself to his people. In the Old Testament, he revealed himself through angels and visions and dreams. God displayed his character through miracles and signs and wonders. He spoke through the prophets to his people. He led through the judges to his people. He revealed himself. But then there was a 400-year period of silence where God had stopped interacting with his people. He had stopped revealing himself. He had stopped communicating with his people. That is, until this very moment when the King of Heaven is born into humanity. This is a unprecedented encounter with the supernatural realm, where previously God revealed himself through angels or visions. He revealed himself by speaking to the prophets and leading his people, but now he comes himself. He doesn't send a messenger to go ahead and just do all the speaking for him, but God himself comes to be with his people, to dwell with them, Emmanuel, God with us. And more than the angelic encounters that led up to this point, this is the greatest point of wonder and excitement of the Christmas story. That God chose to come and dwell with us, chose to represent himself not through something else, but he himself come and be his own representative, to give us a clear picture of who he is. Paul, speaking of this in Philippians 2, says, Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. That God came and dwelled with us. That God was born. We pick up the story out in the fields nearby in verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So following the birth of Christ, we have another angelic encounter where a choir of angels announces the Savior's birth to a group of lowly shepherds. And these shepherds are filled with wonder and awe and amazement and some curiosity, and they go to see this child, this Savior that has been talked about. They don't go to see a cute, clean, put-together nativity scene. They go to see the very presence of God, the very person of God in the form of a newborn baby. These shepherds who just had an encounter with an angel of the Lord and a great company of angelic hosts was probably the most terrifying and the most exciting thing that ever happened in their life. And they rush off to see the person of God in the form of a newborn baby. And I can imagine these shepherds coming to Mary and Joseph and just being in awe and wonder and just falling to their knees around the manger. Because this is Jesus, the Son of God. You know, sometimes our familiarity with the Christmas story leads to a kind of clean and simple version of the birth of Christ, when in reality it's so much more than we can imagine. This was no ordinary night. This was no ordinary birth. This was a holy night. As the Christmas song says, "Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born." My prayer for myself and for us this Christmas season is that as we come to the Christmas story, as we remember the birth of Christ, that we would encounter the holiness, the divine night when Christ was born, and that we'd be filled again with wonder and awe, amazement and excitement this Christmas season.